You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
Hey, what's up? I'm Captain Dean, and welcome back to another exciting episode. And this one is finally being recorded on location at the Spillway Bar and Grill at 2195 River Street, which is formerly Louisville Road, which everybody knows in this town, Louisville Road, or Old Louisville Road. It is now River Street, and that's weird, and I'll never get used to that. But I'm at the Spillway Bar and Grill, and my guest is the drummer for the band No Deceit. His name is Jaron Mudd. Welcome to the Sound Atlas.
Thank you for having me. I'm a big fan. I listen every week, so it's really exciting to be here. It's really cool.
You're a fan of this podcast, and you're a fan of music in general.
Definitely.
And you're a part of the music scene.
Yes.
And I hope I got your name right.
Yes.
Because I always want to say Jared when I see
No, every time I go to a restaurant like Wendy's and they're like, can we get a name?
Yeah.
Like every time it's like Jerry or
see,
Jared.
If I was
or something.
In your shoes, I would go by Jay.
Yeah. And sometimes it's easier. Like a lot of times I'll just say Mud.
A lot of people can like say, what's your name? And I'll say, it's Dean. And I'm like, no, it's Dan. And they just always get confused. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Dar.
How are you?
How are you? Water.
We're doing a podcast here, and we're talking about how great the Spillway Bar and Grill is.
And the famous mama
Thank you, baby.
Has joined us.
Thank you, baby.
Top security.
You got it, baby.
But anyway, we are here at the Spillway Bar and Grill, which is very cool in my opinion, because I've been wanting to do one here for a long time. And I'm glad that I'm here, and I'm glad you're the one to do it.
Yeah, so it's our home base. Like, whenever I joined No Deceit, I had never played here before.
Right.
And so it quickly become home to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Robert's awesome, like what he does for local bands and really like pushing all the local bands, getting all the local bands in here. And anytime there's bigger acts, he gets local bands
right.
to open for them and kind of
give
them a chance.
And you guys have been on a lot of those, yeah.
Luckily, yeah, we have. And so it's been awesome.
Well, this bar and venue has been a big part of the music scene for a long time now. And it's got a long history within mm-hmm. its 20-year span, I believe, of its time frame. But there used to be a stage, a corner stage,
yeah,
like
I've heard
right
about
over
the corner
here.
Stage, yeah.
And it was horribly uncomfortable to play because it was really just enough room for the drummer. And then the band would stand on the floor. And now there's this elegant stage, which I wish everyone could see it. But
oh, yeah.
I posted a picture on Facebook so everybody will see it.
And now they have all the sound. And then Wade brought in the lights and everything. So
oh,
it's a concert experience
every time. It has upgraded over the years, but yet it hasn't changed a bit.
Yeah.
Aside from the stage being built, it's just been improved
mm-hmm.
over time,
oh, yeah.
but without any kind of building expansion or
yeah.
whatever. But enough about all that. We are here because it is your turn to be on the Sound Atlas, my friend.
Dream come true.
Absolutely. It's the big hoorah of your career.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we always start, which you know, with the awesome question of where are you from?
Campbellsville, Kentucky.
Yes, sir.
Taylor County. It's the heart of Kentucky. It's in the center, and it's actually shaped like a heart.
Okay.
So
yeah,
a lot of people
right.
may know Green River Lake, so
yeah.
that's where that is. And,
that's true.
It's actually, yeah,
it's a
the
nice
heart of
place.
Kentucky.
I like to get up there.
Yeah, it's nice. I used
cool.
to have a boat, and I've always lived near the lake, so it's a tourist attraction. And then when you have a boat, like, you get to go out on like a Wednesday afternoon. It's so calm.
Oh, yeah.
And nice. So, yeah, it's really nice about living there. So.
Yep. I think around here we're all used to the Barren,
mm-hmm.
which I've
yeah,
always
yeah.
gotten. I get bent out of shape when people call it Barren River Lake. I'm like, is it a river lake? Is it a river and a lake?
Well, see, ours
when
is Green
it's
River
in the
Lake,
river?
Too.
See, that's so
yeah.
weird.
I guess because
the
river
do you combine
runs,
the
river feeds it or something.
That's
I don't
stupid.
Know. Yeah.
It should be called the Barren.
Yeah.
And then when you see it going through town, it should be, that's Barren
uh-huh.
River.
The only negative thing about being in Campbellsville, it is in the center, so like we're not too far out. Like everything is like an hour and a half, 2 hour drive. Louisville,
right. yeah.
Southern Indiana, Bowling Green,
right.
Nashville, a little further. But it's kind of in the center, but there's no music scene there.
Right.
So it's always at least an hour,
yeah.
2 hour drive
well,
to get wherever. But
but
at least you're close to everything, right?
Right, and so. I think a lot of bands that are, which I've talked to a lot that are from like the Russell Springs area,
uh-huh.
Somerset, it's kind of the same boat for them, I think. You
yeah.
know, you can go one direction or the other, but
mm-hmm.
at least it's not too bad. But unfortunately,
yeah.
it's not 30 minutes down the road like it is for us
yeah,
that live
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
So that's convenient.
Oh yeah.
When did you? Have you always been a drummer?
I have.
Okay, when did you get started?
So, I remember my parents used to go to bars all the time, like dances mm-hmm. back then. And back then before, you know, you could still smoke in bars and bring your babies. And so I kind of grew up and like, so I would be asleep on the chairs and my parents would be out dancing and stuff. And I just remember being infatuated with the drummer.
Right.
Since I can remember.
I can totally relate to that.
And
story.
Then, so I started kind of, I think a cousin gave me like one drumstick.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sister had a boyfriend, and they went and seen a band. She got a drumstick, so I had two.
Oh, wow.
And then I would just beat on everything. Watch MTV, like, during the summer and stuff, like, right. Early in school.
Yeah.
And
you're a 90s kid, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
You grew up on...
I was born in 90.
Right.
So
you probably remember music more in around the 95, late 90s era.
Yes. Okay. I actually had an older brother, and so I kind of got introduced to what he was listening to as well.
At least you grew up on MTV that still showed music videos.
Yes, that's all they
showed.
Because
it kind of ended around 2002 or 3, somewhere in there. It just became total reality TV shit.
Yeah. And so I beat and banged on everything. And then, so my parents kind of thought I would grow out of it, I guess. And then finally, I got a little 3-piece drum kit. It was probably like $80. Just one cymbal.
Right.
Like, I think, I don't even think it was a 16-inch kick, like a 14-inch kick. Like, the smallest little thing. And one instructional DVD. And it taught me my first beat. And so, like, once I learned that, which I didn't even have hi-hats. It was just, like, a cymbal mounted on the kick drum.
Yeah.
And so I learned that, and they kind of heard that, and they were like, oh, wow, that sounds good. And then we looked into getting lessons, and in Campbellsville, there's not a lot of musicians around, so it was kind of hard to get lessons. So I just kind of took off from there and really listened, and I really loved it. Like, I give lessons now to kids, and you can tell, like, who really likes it and who doesn't. Because, like, for me, like, that's all I wanted to do was learn. And so whatever it took, that's what I was going to do. I was going to learn to play drums.
Right.
And so I'm self-taught, which I wish I had lessons. Like, once I got older, I realized my technique and everything. Like, I had to relearn a lot of things.
Yeah.
But so, like, I worked up from that and then finally got a used 5-piece kit, like real size 22-inch
matching
kick drum. Yeah. I mean, they were crap, but, you know, at the time, like, that was the greatest thing ever.
As a drummer myself, it's a mirror story. I mean, everything you just described is really kind of what I just went through growing up, too. So it's almost like when you really want it. You deal with what you get. Because drums are... I've always told people drums are like Legos. You know? You can just kind of find stuff.
Yeah.
And put it together and make use of what you have.
Yeah.
Or you can go to the store and buy the nice box that is a complete set of something that actually looks the same and goes together and has a meaning and a purpose.
Yeah.
But that's how I've always looked at drums.
I'm sure
it's like giant Legos.
The same state, like, kind of goes along with that. Like... Back when I was younger, I was like, if I just had this, I would be so much better.
Yeah.
And, like, now I'm like, do I really need this?
Yeah.
Like, that, you know, I try to, like, now I'm like a 4-piece kit, but, like, when I was, like, 15, it was, like, a 10-piece kit, 20 cymbals, like, I had to have it. And
I went through the
same
thing.
Yeah, so it's crazy.
It's always kind of evolved around the basic, I guess what everybody calls the Ringo kit.
Yeah.
You know, but I always wanted two crashes. I didn't want one crash and a crash ride. I wanted two crashes and a ride. But I've always been partial to having a China.
Right,
That's a big thing for me. But some drummers don't care whether they have a China.
Yeah, I was just telling one of my students, I give lessons on Thursday, and I was telling him, I was like I had all this stuff, and then now, like, I can play gigs where it's just one crash, one ride, hats. But I'd prefer to have a second crash. And then, like, if I'm playing rock or something, you know, I would like a China. Like, if I'm playing a backline kit and there's a China there,
well,
you bet I'm going to use it.
You're going to adapt to whatever you're going into.
Yeah.
And especially drummers that are good at the hired gun thing, you kind of have to have all those things just because you never know when you're going to need to pull them out.
Oh, yeah.
But also for lesson purposes, I think, depending on the student, that might come into play as well.
And
they might not even own that stuff, but at least they get a taste of what it's like. When I was a kid, I'd go into music stores, and if you had just enough time, you could play on a kit.
Oh, yeah,
And it's kind of like that same thing, just learning.
Yes.
You know, you can see stuff on TV, but then when you actually play on the real thing. It's kind of a night and day.
Oh yeah, difference. Definitely.
But I totally understand what you're saying.
So
I haven't really interviewed many drummers.
I know it's kind of hard. Like, we're talking about music, but it's, you know, get two drummers together. It's just going to be all drums. Like,
yeah, drums.
So I'll try to bring it back a little bit. Going back to like the hired, you know, you mentioned the hired gun thing, and No Deceit is actually, it's not my first band,
right?
But like, I guess in my heart, it's my first band. Like, right. We're actually friends.
Right. First
we're
band
actually
that's actually
a family.
Working.
Yes.
Productive. It's
yeah.
Professional.
And I was on the road with a country singer for a while.
Right.
Right before I joined this band.
Well, back up just a wee bit there.
Yeah.
You, when you got started, and obviously you go through, any drummer can relate to this. You go through the motions of getting your first things, like mm-hmm. you were saying about the sticks, and then
yeah.
you acquire drums, and then you graduate to other drums, get a job when you're older, and start, you know, assembling what you really, yeah. really need. What was it like for you going from beginning to that middle stage of when you started jamming with bands and stuff?
Once I started, I met a few friends, and I was around 12 to 13.
Mm-hmm.
They were older friends, and they were into music as well. So we had, like, a guitar player, and he was really into guitar. And then another guy that, and it's going to sound bad against bass players. I know you're a bass player too, but he wanted to be a guitar player. like our bass player is phenomenal.
Oh, you're in a great band.
Yeah,
I talked to Allison and I told her, I was like, you've got a phenomenal band. You
thank
know?
You.
And she knows that.
Yeah.
So. No, you guys are great.
So anyway, Richard, he wanted to play guitar, but wasn't as good as the other guy. So he played bass. And we never really played any shows or anything. Like, we, like, changed the band name, like, every week.
Mm-hmm.
Never could find a singer. Or, like, we'd have a singer 1 week, then he quit. So it was this whole thing. But I really got my experience in church.
Right.
So I grew up playing in church. And that's, like, kind of the whole reason I started going to church. Which, not and, to, like, to get into religion. Like, I don't even go to church now because of music. Because, like,
well,
you
no,
kind of see, like, behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's a positive thing
oh, yeah.
to be involved, because you could do other horrible things that involve music. But I've always thought people that get involved in church with musical aspirations or,
yeah.
or reasoning behind, it's a positive thing.
Oh, yeah.
And they're doing
is.
It for a positive reason.
Right, yeah.
So I actually applaud a lot
yeah.
of people that do that.
But, like, so, like, you know, small town, like, that's the only opportunity
right.
that I had. And so
you,
I did that for a
long
time.
You do a lot
time.
Of homework, you practice
yeah.
a lot, and you always have access to a place where you can actually play drums.
Yeah. And
as
in front
opposed
of people,
to being in a house in a neighborhood
yeah.
that you're going to bother somebody.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The church is always like it's its own thing, and it's big, and
yeah.
and you've got room to, like, play.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not frowned upon.
And so I guess I was I was doing that. I'm trying to think. There was a big gap where I felt like I needed a plan B. So this is probably like when I graduated high school. I was still playing at church, and I had played in a few other little bands and done, it was nothing big, like maybe one show.
Right.
And then so there was about a 4 to 5 year gap. I didn't even touch a drumstick.
Wow.
And so around like 2013, like I'd always wanted to get back into it. And so I'd went to school and become an electrician, had a good job and everything. And then I wanted to get back into music. And so I had no contacts anymore whatsoever. And so I made business cards. And I went to every bar that I could possibly go to where there was a live band playing.
Right.
And I would give these business cards out. And I was like, hey, if you don't
care,
I would like to set in with you.
That, kids, is called networking.
Networking 101. Yeah. And
I did that shit in Nashville, and woo, that was fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lots of fun.
It's good networking down there, though.
It is good, but you learn real quick that you're not the only drummer in that town.
Oh, yeah.
And up here, I was like one of 10 that get
yeah.
the phone calls for everything. But down there, I was one in a million. So.
Yeah, it's kind of easy back home in a small town.
Networking.
Once you kind of build a name. So, like I'd been playing drums, and I'd, you know, played in front of an audience and done some... what I thought back then was cool.
Right. It was.
But then I started again from zero. Like, no contacts, no anything.
Right.
And, like, it didn't really seem like work. I just wanted to play.
Yeah, yeah.
So, met a few people, would play with them, and so it kind of leads up to the point where now I'm not really in a band, but bands are calling me to fill in.
Right.
So I kind of grew up being the hired gun.
Which isn't a bad thing.
No, it's really good experience.
It's good experience, but I got in that boat one time for a while, and I felt like, well, I'm not good enough to be in anyone's band.
Right, yeah.
But then again, I'm the guy everybody calls when their drummer, you know, is sick or whatever. Yeah. So it's kind of a... You can look at it two different ways.
Yeah, I kind of looked at that same situation, though, as like...
Sometimes it's like, great, cool, and some days you're like, what the hell?
And maybe this is like a kind of a cocky way to look at it, I guess, but you're kind of like...
Well, you're a
okay,
musician,
they're calling me, so as soon as this guy leaves, I'm in that band.
Right.
So
you can't always impress everyone with dynamics because they don't understand it.
Yeah.
You could be like level 10 above a drummer you're filling in for, and they'll still be like, well, thanks.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's okay. That's a friend thing.
Yeah, it is what it is.
But anyway, go. I'm sorry.
Fine. Like, it's kind of hard not to talk about.
Well, it is because it's so, I can totally, like, I swear everything you've brought up is like flashbacks for
me. Oh, yeah, yeah. We all go through the same things, I guess.
I was like a decade ahead of you doing the exact same thing.
Exact same thing. Yeah, so the
But hired gun work is a good thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I would financial, it's great because you're a hired gun, so you can be like, I'll fill in for your drummer for $100.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, 100.
But you play a lot.
Yes.
And so a lot of your practice, a lot of your learning their songs, learning songs they cover, all of that kind of comes into play.
It teaches you to adapt very quickly.
Very quickly.
So, and that's really good to have live.
It is.
Whether you're in a band or doing the hiring.
But I think over time, it makes you a phenomenal drummer and a reliable drummer.
Oh, yeah.
And your metronome, your internal metronome is usually spot on.
Yeah.
Especially if you're really passionate and you care.
Yeah.
And you work hard.
Yeah, the good drummers are always going to play for the song.
Yeah.
And that's why, like I tell like the kids that I teach, like, I can name 10 drummers around me that can play circles around me. Like, ask me to play a drum solo, it's not going to be that great.
Well, but that's showing off.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But I still get called to get these gigs because I'm easy to work with, easy to get along with. Those are the two important things. And then I'm on time,
right?
Reliable.
Well, you've built up a reputation.
And then I play for the song.
Right.
And I'm not, you know, doing something like a 30-second note fill in the middle of a ballad.
No, I totally get it.
So, and like, that's really, like, if you can do that, you can stay busy.
So, you said you put it down for a while.
Yeah.
Right. So as a kid, you got started and realized you had the talent, but you didn't really pursue anything in high school and stuff.
And I think like I had this like stigma of a small town, I can't do anything.
You just didn't really find anything.
And so,
I
was kind of interested in electrical too, and like learning how that worked.
Right.
And I knew it was
smart.
Yeah, and it's a good paying job. So,
but that's nice to have something to fall back on.
Yeah.
A real job.
Yeah. So like I've always got that license in my back pocket.
Of course.
And so then I got back into music, and what
age were you between that gap of kind of putting it down and picking it back up?
I want to say around from 21. I'm 29 now.
Okay.
So 21 to around 24, 25, somewhere around there. I can't. I'd have to think about
that.
Well,
the
exact
time,
but
5 years is a pretty good amount of time to just put it down.
Oh, yeah.
But, like you said, it was a worthy reason. You did it for a right reason.
But
a
I
good
missed it
reason.
The whole
of course
time.
You did.
Yeah.
But by not losing the passion for wanting to do it is why you're at where you're at today.
Yeah.
So you never lost that drive or the rush of what you get from playing.
And all the angst that was built up over that time not playing, whenever I got back into it, like, it was full force.
I bet.
So, like, I
so what were
around.
You doing aside from the hired gun work? Did you, you said you got into a band, right?
Yeah, so the hired gun thing, you know, you kind of go from one to one to one, and then got a random call. I was kind of in between, like, hired gun gigs, and it was just going to be, like, one hired gun show. And, it was for a country singer, and he had just signed a deal. And
oh, they all say that.
Yeah, and he actually had like a publishing deal.
He's
and everything.
He's from Nashville. He just signed a deal.
Yeah, this guy was from Indiana. won't mention names because there's some not really bad blood between us, but he kind of did some things, kind of.
Oh, that's okay. We don't tarnished
his name, but anyway. So like I thought that was like really cool. Like I just got back into it. It was kind of jumping around, and then I got this touring gig. And
right.
Saying, it was paying good.
Right.
Like it was still hard gun pay, but I was in the band.
You were actually.
I wasn't in the studio.
You were
with him,
actually
but I
making
was
a living being a musician.
Yeah, and I quit doing electrical.
Yeah.
When that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And barely made it by, but then realized probably going to need to pick up. You know, once that ended, I was like, oh no.
I think being an electrician is better than being a musician as far as pay rate.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But
definitely.
As far as happiness, I think it's the other way.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Now I do plumbing on the side. And like, I hate doing electrical.
Man,
now,
you must make like $200 an hour.
No, I wish.
Good for you.
I wish.
Ah, whatever.
Because I still try to play music as much as possible.
Oh,
like, my job now, they allow for me. It's just me and one other guy, and he owns the company.
Oh.
We graduated together, so he's cool with me taking off. Like on a Wednesday through
But it's
Friday
also a small town, right?
Yeah.
So maybe you're in a position that that works. If you were in a bigger city,
that'd
be
hell. Definitely would.
But
he'd
have to have like 15 employees.
Yeah, right, yeah. So like I'm in a very fortunate position now.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the Josh thing, the ex-drummer and founder of No Deceit, we graduated together.
Yeah.
So,
and
Bryce
the
McDaniel.
The first time I saw them was right here at the Spillway.
Yeah.
And I talked to him that night, and I was like, man, you guys are really good. And I remember when he left the band because they made a post on Facebook and stuff, and it was all on good terms. He had moved to Tennessee, I think.
Yeah, Tennessee.
And was just growing up and realized that he wasn't going to pursue music, which was a golden opportunity for someone like you. In that town, that vicinity, to walk
I
in
was
and
a
take
fan
that spot.
Of No Deceit
right.
prior to that, too.
Yeah.
And he
so
called
it made
me,
perfect sense.
He messaged
you
me
were
on
the guy
Facebook,
that got the gig.
Yeah. And was like, hey, you still playing drums? And I was like, yeah. And this was like before the Josh thing happened. And,
oh,
wow.
That was a while
and
back.
So like, it's kind of weird how it worked out. And he's like, I'm getting married, and there's going to be a few gigs that I'm going to miss. And so we talked and talked, and he gave me some dates, and it never really happened. And then he hit me back up, and I was like, hey, I got this gig going on right now, but if I'm free, I can fill in. And little did I know that he was planning on leaving. And the other band members in No Deceit, they were kind of looking on their own as well. And so everything kind of came to a head at like the perfect time. And I practiced once with No Deceit, and then like the next day, they called and was like, "Hey, can you go to Georgia?" And I was like, "Yeah, let's go."
Did you play that place, that Boss Hog place, in the like middle of Valdosta?
The one that Rod Davis plays for?
In Valdosta?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's where it was.
I played a week there once. It was like New Year's weekend.
Yeah, what is the name of that place?
I don't know. I thought of it like it was like the Boar's Nest, and Boss Hog put you up in a
like
trailer
big stage,
park.
Yeah, the trailer park?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Dude.
Everybody's been there.
I was on tour with, David St. Romain.
Yeah.
And David made it to like the third runner-up on Nashville Star. But prior to being on Nashville Star, I drummed a short stint of drumming for him.
Yeah.
And the first gig I played was that place.
Oh, wow.
And they called me on the day after Christmas and said, hey, our drummer can't make it. Can you do the gig? And I was like, sure. And on the way from Nashville to
Valdosta. So we got thrown
into
the same place
yeah.
or like the same kind of situation. Ed played the same gig.
But I had to learn all the songs on a CD player on the drive
on the way down,
from Nashville to Valdosta.
That's kind of like I said, we ran
because
through
we
one
played
time.
The next night when we got there. I had
literally
no time, and I had to learn like 60 songs.
Yeah, the same. But the good thing about that is because you get put up in the trailer, so it is like a really good first gig.
Yeah,
because you're playing. Was it three nights? We played three nights in a row.
We did.
It was like Thursday,
five.
Friday, Saturday. Was it all five?
I think we did all five because it was New Year's Eve. Like,
we
got there on like December 28th, and then played through like the second or third.
Yeah, the 25th.
I'd have
Christmas,
to look at the calendar, but
yeah,
it was. But it was that place.
That's crazy.
That's all I remember of it. It was crazy.
Yeah,
but that's
so,
funny that we
yeah,
both
it is.
Had
that's
same
awesome
story.
Yeah, like I said, we ran through them one time, and then like on the way down to Georgia, we were just kind of like, and like at that time, I was like, I'm a hired gun for no deceit right now.
Yeah.
And
but see, all your experience leading up to that built you for that moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Because so, I did the same thing.
Yeah, it was.
So it was perfect great, timing. Yeah.
And so, like, little did I know that it was a test run for, like, the real thing. So
and it was the real thing.
And it was. And so...
And what year was that? Because I remember it wasn't that long ago.
No, 20... It may have been 2016.
Right.
Like, I feel like I've been in the band for 5 years, but it's only been, like, two and a half or something. Yeah,
almost 3 years.
It seems, like, so long, but it's really not that long.
I just remember when all of it happened, because I was a fan of them the day I saw them.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, you know, that sucks. He's a good dude. They're a good band. I hope that doesn't affect them. And the next thing I know, they're introducing you.
Yeah.
And that's how I even came to know who you were.
Oh, yeah.
From their post.
And that's how I would, I don't, eventually I would have known of Captain Dean before.
But you just kind of fell into this world.
Into that, and
wherever
then,
they were going to play, you started meeting all the same people that may have already known them and fans and all that stuff. But, dude, you fell right in.
Yeah, it worked out. Like, it couldn't have worked out better.
Yeah.
It was just...
And musically speaking, to go back just a little bit with your coming up and developing your craft for playing drums and everything, who were your influences? And you can say musically, band-wise, or you can name drummers. I mean, just what inspired you to become the drummer that you are today?
Younger, I didn't really know drummers because we didn't have the internet. So it was kind of hard to look up who the drummer was.
They didn't have a bookstore that had Modern Drummer on the shelf?
Yeah, like I was just kind of getting into it at that point.
Yeah.
Like whenever I was getting influenced anyway.
That's
like,
how I learned all that stuff.
And I was so young, like I didn't, you know, I mean, it was just like drums, like not who's playing. And it's funny, I was thinking about this earlier. I had like a Spotify playlist that I used to listen to, like on those down nights when you have a gig and you're just not like kind of feeling it. And it was just kind of like a nostalgic thing of like all the old songs that I remember like being like iconic to me learning the drums.
Right.
Like Smells Like Teen Spirit was on there. Cumbersome. A Stain song.
Why is Cumbersome such an important song?
Like I
don't understand
I actually think that was like now like everybody plays it. Like I realize
well,
like
it's been... Well, it's been played around this area from cover bands for as long as I can remember.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, when it was a hit, everybody started playing it.
Yeah.
And yet, to this day,
it's still
being played. And I'm like, why?
I knew
I mean,
nothing
most
about...
of the people these days don't even know who that band is.
Who
they just think
is.
The song's awesome.
Yeah. And so, like, as a little kid, like, I heard that, like, I just instantly liked it.
Yeah.
And I think that is the very first song that I sat down and learned note for note on the drums. So, like, that was kind of, like, the first song that I could play and not do, you know, something there. Green Day.
But was there a drummer in particular that was, like, your number one idol, or did you just kind of draw interest from whatever musically you were listening to?
It was
to?
More musical back then. Yeah. Like, and of course, like, I've looked up the other drummers. And one of the drummers that I look up to now, it's kind of like an odd drummer when you say it. You'll know who it is, I'm sure.
Not really. My favorite's Jack Irons, and that shocks everybody.
Yeah. Mine is Rich Redman.
Oh, Rich is awesome. I know Rich.
Yeah. But like, he's just like the working man's drummer, I
when
guess.
I worked at Forks in like 2000, Rich used to come in all the time.
Yeah.
This was before he had made it big.
Right.
He was still doing just the stuff around town and whatnot. But he was working with, golly, who was he playing for? I can't remember now, but... he was playing for somebody.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, you know, you're going to be famous, you know?
Yeah.
He was like, I don't know. And him and Trey Gray both used to, like, work at Forks part-time.
Wow.
And Trey was Faith Hill's drummer when Breathe hit big and everything. But these guys still worked at Forks part-time.
Yeah.
Because they weren't making any money. But Rich is, like, a superstar, and he's making a living at it.
And like
Chris McHugh
good, like,
Mr. used to come in all the time.
He's so positive and... It's like you can like message him on like Instagram or something. He'll message
super
you back.
Cool. And he does
so
lessons down there too.
Oh yeah.
Most of the drummers in Nashville most of the drummers that I got to know were very approachable. They were just normal people.
Yeah.
And I didn't really meet that many that took it for granted. But they definitely, like, put their money where they, you know, like, when they made a big paycheck from a tour or something, they'd buy a really nice car or a really nice house.
Yeah.
But they never changed. Like, the whole time I worked down there, I never saw any of them, like, physically change as people.
Yeah. Like they still talk to everybody. Yeah, they're not very approachable. They're all stuck up.
I mean, a lot of them give lessons, private lessons, at Forks Drum Closet.
Yeah. That's, you know,
and when Chester Thompson walks in to give lessons, it's like, that's Chester Thompson. Yeah. You know? It's awesome. You know, but a lot of those guys, especially in the country world, were just super humble people. You know, they're just normal people.
Yeah.
So,
and that, like,
Rich is a good dude. That's cool. But I know why you like him so much, because he's versatile.
Yeah, and his work ethic and, like, his positivity towards, like, that. I'm really drawn to work ethic and stuff like that. And he's just, like, a really good dude to look up to. Like, if I had a boy that looked up to him, like, I'd be okay
with
that.
No, I get it. Yeah. He's a very positive guy.
Yeah.
And a lot of those studio guys, I met some from, like, L.A. and New York and stuff. They definitely had the attitude.
Oh, yeah.
So you could just tell the difference. And Nashville has a different effect on people.
Yeah, it does.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, again, I applaud you for that. That's a good guy to mention.
Yeah. Of course, you know, I like all the other drummers, too, like their playing ability. But
How can you not?
Yeah. I mean, I watch YouTube all the time. I'm like, oh, God.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. Everybody keeps getting better and better.
But you definitely are the... Obviously, No Deceit's a very country band, but it's got a lot of elements of rock and roll, blues. It's got soul.
All the guys are
all
rock musicians. Like, that's what we listen to is rock.
I mean,
and then
I've talked to Allison before, and she's like, you know, we are a country band. We play country music.
Yeah.
But it's got grit. It's got power. It doesn't sound like Nashville pop stuff. It doesn't sound like that. It's totally in the realm of what I guess most people would say as outlaw.
Yeah.
Or whatever those titles are that they
there's
put
all
on
kinds.
That stuff.
We don't know
but
what we are.
You guys kind of, you know, I've seen a lot of shows and it's a diverse band with a diverse sound, but yet it is still in that country category.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I look at it. It's like we all, like all three of us, like all, and I say three of us, like all the guys, the musicians,
the dudes, the bearded,
the
men,
bros. With,
and
except
you're,
me, I'm not
the non-bearded.
I'm the non-bearded one. But like we all kind of grew up, we're all the same age, and we grew up listening kind of to the same things.
Right.
But we're from the heart of Kentucky, which is obviously you know a country area. We only have country stations, so that kind of comes out anyway. And so you just kind of put that all together, and that's kind of.
Well, it makes
sense.
What
it sounds like.
Yeah, it makes total sense, really. And you're embracing Kentucky.
Yes.
Where you're from.
Yeah,
and
we love
that's
Kentucky.
That's an important
so.
Thing to do, you know?
Well.
I just didn't know if there was any other influence. If Rich is the top of your list, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
That's a good dude to look up to. But anything else stand out as far as just
influences?
Or are you just literally, like me as a drummer,
everything
influences you? You can find something in every band, every music you listen to.
One of my favorite bands for a while, and this is before I met them and started working with some of them, was Black Stone Cherry.
Yeah.
Ever since I heard them, I was like, oh, man, they're awesome. And then joined No Deceit, and now we're working with John.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
Are you guys recording in his new studio?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll
be Mark
in,
Owens is there.
Yeah,
Mark Owens is a genius when it comes to sound engineering. And I one of the first, like, recording, well, I think it was, like, maybe the third time I'd ever recorded in a studio was at Mark Owens.
Yeah. He's a good drummer, too.
He's a great drummer, but I got to record in his studio, and he engineered and recorded my drumming, and I was like, I don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
This is a brilliant, not only sound engineer, recording engineer, but he's a drummer.
Yeah,
so I was
that's
I'm
always
great
cool,
hands.
Too.
So I was really proud of that demo, and I was like 18 at the time. You know? So it was something to be proud of. But he's a good dude. I mean, he's great at what he does,
oh, yeah.
And he's involved with them. And I think he had a lot to do with the arrangement of the way that that studio's constructed.
Yeah, I actually did the wiring in it and about to do the plumbing in it. So.
Yeah, but the way the ceiling has those tiles that are all, you know, rippled and everything, I know he had a lot of
They hand cut those blocks.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
It's awesome.
I ran into him one day at the A-frame, and he pulls out his phone and he starts showing me all the photos. He's like, because they were literally in the middle of the construction of it. And this was, so that was a few years ago.
Yeah.
And he was like, check out these blocks. Look at what we're doing to the ceiling. And I'm like, man, you're finally in the element you've always wanted to be in. Because I recorded in his house. Like, the room the drums were in were like his dining room. And he changed it out to be a recording
studio. He was telling me a story about that. I was out there working on the studio one day, and he was telling me about that. He used to record in his house.
Well, there was High Street Studios, which was a basement downstairs. And then he moved over off of Cemetery Road in one of those neighborhoods over there.
Uh-huh.
And it was just a nice, typical home. And the control room was in the dining room.
Yeah.
And the recording room or whatever was in like a living room. And then he'd put amps in the garage and run cables out the door. So it was just a home recording studio, but he had solid equipment.
Yeah.
That was the thing.
Yeah.
Like, he had good equipment. And he had good people involved with it, you know.
He was telling me the story. He used to offer to mow his neighbor's yard because he would have bands in.
Yeah.
And his neighbor would, like, fire up the lawnmower. And so he'd be like, look, I will mow your yard for the next month if you just stop right now. Yeah.
You guys are going to enjoy that. Have you already been doing some tracking up there or what?
No, I'm not.
It's in the works.
We're supposed to do some pre-pro here in a few weeks. We've already done pre-pro on our own.
Okay.
And then we're going in with John and doing pre-pro.
Right.
And then he goes out somewhere and then around August.
Yeah, they're
August,
in Europe.
I think.
And,
yeah. We're getting in there.
But prior to all this, you joined the band. And then they recorded that EP, the Bar Band EP, correct?
Yes.
Now, you're on that, right?
No, I'm not on that.
You're not on that.
Whenever that released, they did the release party. And then the promo videos, have you seen those? Like the
When it first
video,
came out, yeah.
And then the live Smoke Myself Into a Dream video at Rib Liquors. We were in Georgia when they got those back from Blake Judd.
Oh.
So it was all kind of right after it. Like, it released.
Okay.
So, that's whenever I joined. Yeah,
that's
actually Bryce on this.
That's what I thought. For some reason, I thought that all happened around the same time. I just wasn't sure.
Yeah.
But still, that's cool that you came into the picture on a release, and you just kind of kept... You almost kept them afloat without having any downtime.
And like, in his drumming, like, there's a few things that I changed, but I started out just playing everything note for note. And then until the band got used to it.
Right.
And so now there's some different parts in there. But like, it's good to do that because it wasn't like they were playing this out forever and then I come in and change it.
Right.
It was kind of like they released it. And so like live now, they may have played it live a few times, but nobody really remembers. So I was kind of able to be creative in it and kind of put my stamp on it live.
And that's good. That's important. Yeah. And they allowed you to do it. Some people don't do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that didn't change much, but yeah.
That's true. You get in the band. You're coming off of that Bar Band release. Things really got going. I mean, you joined a really active band.
Yes.
And it has been that way since you stepped into it.
Yes.
What's it been like for you since coming into No Deceit?
When I joined, and I kind of feel bad... Like, Bryce and Allison were the original members, and now Allison is the only original member. And they have put in 5 years of work.
Yeah.
And then I come in just right as everything kind of starts to pick up. And then, like, I mean, I kind of added, you know, a little bit of flair as well. You know, I'm not going to say, you know, I didn't add anything, but I was coming into a band that was already tight.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I kind of had to fit in with that. And so, like, all the legwork was already done, which we're still working hard. But, you know, from the start to where they were, that was kind of them. And I just kind of got to jump in and kind of enjoy that a little bit and then take off from there. And then, like, I didn't come in and just be like, okay, well, I'm just going to kind of coast by. You know, I came in, you know, head down, ready to work.
Yeah, too. You came into it with the professional attitude. and you took it serious. Mm-hmm. You didn't look at it as a hired gun position.
Yeah.
You actually were offered the job, and you were like, I'll take it.
Yeah.
And
I'm
you,
in this
I
band
mean,
now,
you're,
so.
You take what you do very seriously. And aside from your story and of getting to where you are now, when you got into this band, somehow, some way, we ended up getting in touch with each other.
Yeah.
I think we just started texting each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, or
day.
Social media.
Drummer
stuff.
To drummer
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of stuff. And you reminded me so much of me when I was your age.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was exactly that same
yeah.
hyper guy, like just desperate to play as much as mm-hmm. possible, learn as much as possible, do everything the band could do. Like, I totally saw that.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's serious. He's
yeah,
he's the real
you.
Deal.
Thank
so
you.
They got not only, well, Allison, like you said, is the original member. And I've talked to her. I don't know what separation your all's episodes will be, but there'll be a gap between them.
Yeah.
But I did talk to Allison, and she told, obviously, her story of the band and its formation and up to current day. And she's so proud to have the three of you up there on that stage. And she even said something along the lines of she prefers not to do solo gigs
yeah.
or acoustic shows by herself, even though a lot of people in bands like this, the singer usually does
yeah,
go
yeah.
off and do all this other stuff on the side. You know, some bands don't care and some do.
Yeah.
You know, it does kind of take
Which
a slap
it's
in the
fun.
Face.
We're like Eric has his own
right.
Folk project. He plays folk music and writes folk music.
But I think it's different in the singer perspective because
yeah.
the singer, if they overdo it, then it might jeopardize the band's
right.
performances.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that
but
makes
she,
sense.
She was
yeah.
she made a very clear point when I talked to her about she wants to be on stage with this band.
Yeah.
at all times, even if it's a low volume acoustic kind of offer. You guys go in there and do it as an mm-hmm. acoustic act, or you find ways to just kind of do things. Like I saw the video of you playing the side of the guitar while he was playing.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But that, like, you're there. They could have done that show without you.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're there. That's a band.
Yeah.
And that's what a real band does, and you guys are the real deal.
Thank
Even
you.
Though, you know, like you said, they're not the original members, you're not the original drummer. It was a vision that was built and has been kept alive and vastly has improved over time.
Yeah.
And where you guys sit today is astonishing.
I can't
You're a phenomenal band.
I can't imagine having it like trading out a member now. Especially the band.
Yeah.
Because like me, Eric, and Michael, we can read each other's minds.
Right.
Like I feel like we're so tight together.
It
just, like, we click on and off the stage,
what,
and, like, we just gel
goes
so
to show
well.
The seriousness of what this is, you know. And you're very lucky.
I am.
Because a lot
I
of
am
people,
very lucky.
including myself, have had a lot of rocky roads and, you know,
yeah,
a lot.
I've been through a lot of that, too.
You should be very proud. And I tell a lot of people this when I run into them that they've only been in this maybe one or two bands, but
mm-hmm.
the one they're in at that time has lasted for 8 years
yeah.
and stuff. And I'm like, I hope you really, truly understand how lucky you are.
It's rare.
Because
it's
I'm
so
lucky
rare.
To get people to stick around for 6 months before they fail, you
yeah.
know. And it's like, you guys are just a great band with great attitude and great work ethic. And it shows when you're on stage. You're a phenomenal band.
Thank you so much.
Leading up to that... Speaking of bands in this area, I know for a fact that Boomstick and the members of Boomstick highly respect this band, but yet you're polar opposites when it comes to music. They're a rock band
yeah.
with hard, heavier roots, and you're a country band with roots in other areas, but, you know, you all share one thing in common is that energy, that stage presence,
mm-hmm.
you know, good showmanship. You all both can share the stage, even though the music is night and day,
yeah,
or different of some sort, but yet it fits. And when it comes to other bands in this area, who are you a fan of?
The band I want to see the most, and I haven't got to see them yet.
Because you work a lot.
Yeah, it is. It's so hard. I really, really, really want to see Kiss Kiss Bang. I talk to Trevor quite a bit, or used to, but on social media and stuff. And, mm-hmm. and ever since that band come out, I've always been a fan of them. I haven't got to see them live yet.
Wow, that's crazy. They were out for a while before I even got to see them, but I did see them. I've seen them two times now.
Yeah.
And they're great.
Yeah, I haven't got to see Otis yet either.
Rock and roll band, you know. Yeah. They're the real thing.
Of course, Boomstick. You know, they're great friends of ours.
And you guys have done some shows together.
Yes.
Like I was saying, and I just know that they respect you guys incredibly, and that's a good pairing, even though it's a rock band and a country band.
It works.
It still fits.
Yeah.
It still fits.
Like, that's the good thing about music, is, and that's what I love about it, is like it's not like tonight we're doing a battle of the bands. But it's,
you know what?
I hate that it's a competition.
You're going to win.
I hope so.
It's rigged. I paid $100.
Thank you.
No, I really think, yes, we are here at the Spillway during the Battle of the Bands.
Yes.
Which the winner from last night was the rock and roll band.
Black Gold.
And it was Black Gold. And now tonight's the country band.
Mm-hmm.
And No Deceit is on the bill. You're going to win. And
I hope so.
You're going to play the Bet City Motorcycle and Music Fest.
That'd be cool.
Which is coming up this August of 2019.
Yeah. The only bad part about that is like...
is it August or September? It's sometime in like the fall. Late summer, early fall.
Yeah. That's when it is.
I don't know.
it's then.
There's a trailer out in the parking lot. It's got a date on it.
You
I
probably
didn't
open
it.
That door there.
I just
they
know
can't
it's
see
happening.
That, they have no idea what we're talking about.
But
now,
yeah, but that is why you're here. And I was like, hey, that works out great.
Yeah.
You know, you and I have talked a little bit. And I was like, if you want to do an episode of the Sound Atlas, you're going to be in Bowling Green. And I am here. And let's just meet at the Spillway.
Let's do it.
And here we are.
Last
so you're just hours away from playing.
Yeah, I am.
You've got to be excited.
I am. I'm excited to get some food and then
yes,
play.
Yes, I know. We
and
need to wrap it up so you can get some of them famous Spillway
wings.
We got
plenty of time, but yeah.
But anybody else besides Boomstick, Kiss Kiss Bang, who else out there is catching your
tonight,
attention?
I'm a fan of one of the bands we're competing against. It's Christopher Brown.
Yeah.
His dad's Marty Brown. I don't know.
I know who he is.
He was on the Opry like way back in the day. We met at a competition. A while back, like when I first got into music, so we've been friends for a long time. Mm-hmm. So he's playing like he puts on a really good show as well. So the band's Maceo.
Yeah, that's right.
But I'm a fan of everybody though. I mean, I love supporting.
But like you said though, it is hard to get out when you're in a band that is active as you guys. It is hard to go see other bands. The only cool thing about it is when you get to do shows. With other bands.
That's the best, because you get to hang out with all your buddies. And the thing about being a musician is, like, I can see, like, we can meet, and then 3 years later, we don't talk, and we do another show together.
Right.
And it's just like we've been hanging out this whole time. Like, you meet, and you pick up right where you left off.
Right.
And it's just like this long-term friendship.
It is the best part of it.
It's so awesome.
It's like a secret society.
Yeah, it is. Especially drummers, because we kind of have our own thing, too.
It is. I've always enjoyed playing shows with other bands because the drummers would just talk gear. You know?
Yeah.
I liked it, you know, but I've always been kind of once I find something that I'm happy with, I stick with it.
Yeah.
So I've had, like, the same gear for years. I change out kits, but I've owned, like, the same cymbals and snares for, like, over, like, 20 years at this point.
That's kind of how I am. Like, I like what I like, and so I try
and
to make it work for every
gig. Let me test my knowledge or my ability, because I saw your drum set when I interviewed Allison. They were setting up for a show at Rib Liquors. And you were not there yet.
No, I wasn't.
But they were loading in your gear, and I want to say that you have a Mapex kit. No?
Nope.
See, I didn't get close enough to look at it.
Yeah, that one
I was looking at the badges, but it was the burgundy color.
Yeah, it's a red to black fade, sparkle, lacquer, all maple. It's the PDP concept.
Oh,
by DW.
Pacific.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I think for some reason Pacific drums and Mapex drums, their lugs
their lugs
look
do
similar
look the same. Yeah.
From a distance. So I didn't get close enough to see the badge.
Yeah.
I think your kit and then Todd Hogan from Despite the
exactly
Fallen,
the
I think you guys have the
yeah.
same drum set.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, his is a different model.
Right.
But yeah.
That's
yep.
cool. Pacific
same color
is good stuff because DW makes good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, every brand of drums has the high-end kits and
mm-hmm.
the medium range and the low range.
Yeah.
And DW actually has the high-end DW, but then Pacific is more of the affordable
yeah.
kit, which
and
makes
this,
perfect. It's like the Pearl Export
yeah.
of DW, you know.
Yeah, if you get a chance to check one of the concepts out, they kind of spend a little more time on them, and they're 100%
right. oh, no, they
maple
do.
Shells.
I know.
And, like,
I've seen the video of the factory where they build
yeah,
them.
And
they're,
I love
they're
them.
Well taken care of because they basically just make a quicker, faster version of a DW shell.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
exactly.
it's the same kit configuration. Yeah. yeah.
And like I said, like I tell my
They're
students,
just like, not pitch-tuned toms.
Yeah, you don't get the little sticker that says, this is a D.
I owned a DW kit when I was touring with that country dude.
Yeah.
And it was one of the nicest drum sets I've ever
are.
Owned. But I sold it and got a Gretsch kit. And I loved it.
Yeah.
But I've always gone back to Ludwig. I just grew up a Ludwig
See,
guy.
See, I'm a Pearl guy.
Yeah.
So like I like that kit, but like a Pearl Masters, if I
yeah.
could get my hands on one of those again.
Those are nice.
Love
See,
them.
That's again, Pearl makes their high-end stuff. Like the actual shells are made
yeah.
by them. But the other stuff, all these drum companies, and I've always wanted to do this drum episode. All drums are the same, people.
They are.
Their
Put
drum,
good
the
heads
shells
on them
are
and
Keller
them.
Shells. It's a company called Keller. So when you buy a Pearl kit, a Tama kit, a Yamaha kit, a Ludwig kit, you name it. All those drum shells come from the same damn place.
Yeah.
And all they do is put their hardware on it
yeah.
and their heads on it. It's in the heads. It
yep.
does. I mean, yeah, there is a difference in the shells.
Yeah.
There is a difference in tone, is depth, and all that
yeah.
shit. But what it comes down to is heads.
Yeah.
You
got to
put the drum
heads,
heads that
on,
you like.
And you got to be able to
sound. You got to be able to tune.
And you got to be able to play.
Did you know you could tune a drum? And you
oh,
can do both the top and the bottom?
That kills me when people... You can tune drums? I spend more time tuning than I do playing sometimes. Like,
oh, you're
I'm
you're
so picky.
About it.
Yeah, I'm so picky.
I'm not. I kind of... I've developed a technique years ago.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at just setting them in and letting
yeah.
them go. The heat and the rain is what affects it for me.
Yeah.
But other than that, they usually stay in tune.
And mostly my toms. Like, I'm picky about like getting my tom intervals...
Right.
And that's kind of, and make sure that there's nothing wonky going on.
Yeah. You play just a basic four piece, right?
Yes.
So you
yeah.
got a tom, floor tom,
yeah,
snare
12,
kick.
16, 22 kick. Yep.
Same as I.
Yeah.
What are you using cymbal wise?
A Customs.
Nice. Really, all around?
All around.
Wow.
Yeah. I got 14 inch A Custom hats. I want to change. I've got a 16 on the left. 18 on the right. I want to go 18, 19.
Right.
Or 18, 20.
Big
22.
I totally recommend
ride.
That.
Yeah.
I used to use 16s forever, and then I discovered 18.
Yeah.
And now I have two 18s and a 20.
Yeah.
And I'm just so happy. I actually have a 20-inch crash or 20-inch ride that I use as a crash sometimes.
Yeah, I've got one, but it's the A-Series medium.
Yeah.
So it's a little, like, for what we do. And it didn't really mix. Like,
right.
As a crash, it doesn't mix with
A
the
Customs
other
are very
crash.
Clean.
Yeah.
They wash. They're very, yeah. like, crisp sounding.
Yeah, I've always loved that sound. Like,
yeah.
I went to Sabian for a little while and tried those. And
yeah.
I was like, great cymbals.
I didn't care much
but,
for
yeah, you like what you like. And that's,
exactly.
You know, so.
I don't get to ask this question. What drumsticks do you use?
Man, right now, oh, I've got to show you these later. Just got to order in. I'm using ProMark 5A nylon tip right now.
Okay.
I've always been a fan of nylon tip.
I've never been a fan of nylon tip.
That's what I like. Whenever I first found out what nylon tip was, I was like,
yeah.
oh, those are more crisp.
Right. More
now
ping.
You can't hear them.
Yeah.
yeah. But I sent, we were in, played in Nashville a little while back, a couple weeks ago. Sent Allie to get me some sticks, and she come back with, you know, my 5A nylon tips. And then a pair of 5A Rebound from ProMark.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, what are these? She's like, oh, they just told you to try them out. And I was like, cool, free sticks. And I started playing. I was like, man, those are awesome.
Wow.
Like, they're called Rebound because, like, the rebound on them is really, really, I don't know what's different about them.
It's a balancing thing.
But they feel so good. So yeah. I think I'm going to go to those. I played Vic Firth for a while. I kind of switched back and forth.
Right.
As long as it's 5A, I've been with Vader for a long time.
They're very comfortable.
I haven't got to try those yet. And they're the extended length.
It's got like an extra half inch on the tip. World of difference.
Whenever I played Vic Firth, they had the
absolute world of difference.
The 5A
in
Extreme,
my,
and
my
they
playing
were like,
style changed from that stick.
Yeah, that's what I like those. Yeah.
So, are you a Remo or an Evans guy?
I actually mix it up.
Do you really?
Yeah, the Sin. The Sin. And it's all Remo up top, except the Evans EMAD 2 on the kick drum. I just love it. Yeah. I feel like you can throw it on a cardboard box and it sounds good.
I'm polar opposite of you. I'm Remo all around and Aquarian super kick on the bass drum.
That's kind of like the EMAD. Like, that would probably be good.
It was the first.
Yeah.
Before Evans and
before
Remo
they did the
all
EMAD.
That.
Yeah.
Aquarian put out the Super Kick and the Super Kick 2.
Yeah, I remember that.
Holy shit.
I feel like I had one at one time, but I can't remember.
My kit sound went from night to day. I mean, it changed everything about drumming for me.
Yeah.
It sounded like a kick drum mic'd through a woofer.
Yeah.
Without even having any, just right in front of you.
That's how I feel about the EMAD. Like, I feel like you say that you put on a cardboard box and it sounds good.
Yeah. So. I've had them. I've played them before. I tried Evans a few times, but I always went back to Remo.
I
couldn't get them to tune the same. I think Remo's cool because they have a deeper
pinstripes?
Rim. No, I use Emperors.
Emperors? Okay.
Top and bottom.
Yeah.
Two
ply on
the top
and bottom?
I don't use single ply at all.
I have Emperors on
all the tops. And then the only thing that has the ambassador, of course, is the bottom side of the head.
Yeah.
The snare. And I've got an Emperor on the front of the kick, but then an Aquarian on the kick side.
Yeah.
But I've got Remo Emperor top and bottom. Coated on top, smooth white on bottom.
I like
that. Badass. It will change the tone. I think that's why I don't have to tune my drums very much, because when I hit them, they are solid.
Yeah.
Like, the tone is dead on every time.
Yeah.
And Remo's that company, that thing where you put the head on, you tighten it, you crack the glue.
Yeah.
And then you loosen it back up, and it's like set. It's kind of like guitar strings to me.
Yeah.
But Evans couldn't do that for me. It's a different way of their clamping on the hoop.
Yeah, it is different. Yeah. And like I said, that's why I went back to Remo on the toms and the snare.
Yeah.
And the snare is the reverse dot.
Yeah.
I love that thing. Like, I found that. And my snare is a 13 by 7.
That's a John Bonham and Alex Van Halen
thing. Yeah,
I had one of those I had a bronze snare that had a dot on it, and it sounded really good. But bronze is a darker tone.
Yeah, it is.
So on the brass snares, it didn't work very good. So on my brass snares, it's just Emperors.
Yeah.
But they're awesome.
Oh,
they last me forever, too.
Yeah, they do.
Yay, a drummer interview. I'm so happy. Yeah. I've interviewed a few drummers. I'm not going to say I haven't. But I knew you would talk gear because you're a gear nut.
Yes, I love it. I'll talk all day. But.
So before we wrap this up, and I know them Spillway Wings is calling my name. As far as No Deceit goes, what's on track for the future, which you kind of already touched on? You guys are
going to
start tracking?
To the studio.
Are you doing an EP or a full-length?
We're doing an EP. Trying to think of some shows we got going on. So we're doing pre-pro mid-June. this is an odd gig. We're opening up for Donnie Baker and the Sex Pistols. Is it the Sex Pistols?
No, the Pork Sword.
Pork Pistols. Pork Pistols,
right.
Yeah, that's what it is. We're opening
Donnie
up for
Baker
them.
From the Bob and Tom
Show. Yes, we're opening up for him Saturday,
good.
June
that's
29th.
Cool. I can't wait to see that picture.
Yeah, that's going to be wow. Oh, another cool thing is Red Barn Radio. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Is that in Lexington? Where is that?
And we're doing a live album
there. Are you going to do all original?
Yes.
All right, great.
Yeah, all original live album.
I would definitely
take a
moment like that would take full advantage of the idea of, like, if you can do all original and make a live album and a venue, we may throw in one or two
of our favorite covers just to cover the time, because it's a live show too,
right? But they can edit it to where it's just all the original.
Yeah, they're going to give us the master rights to all the recordings.
Awesome.
So we can kind of mix and match whatever we want to do after that. Yeah,
so you'll have an EP and a full-length live album.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
I think we're going to... I'm not sure.
That's something to be proud of.
Yeah, that's gonna be cool. I think we're going to... I may be wrong, and I may be bad for saying this, but I think we're going to put out the live thing and take more time on the EP.
Well, yeah.
That way, kind of have something out, and then...
Well, because you already... Bar Band hadn't been out that long, right? A few years at this point?
Yeah, about 2 years, and a half years, something like that, yeah.
But still, I mean, it's covered over.
Yeah.
Look at that tiny bass drum you're playing on tonight. That's like an 18-inch bass drum.
I brought my kit. I didn't think there was a backline kit.
As far as I know, when they do things like this, there's a backline.
Can I put my kit up there?
I would just, we'll wrap this up and we'll let you deal with it.
Yeah, we'll figure out what's going on here. Playing a four time as a kick.
So obviously, Notice has got a good future going ahead, and you guys are rocking and rolling your way into just having a damn good time doing what you do. Who around here are you a fan of? Or did I already ask that?
Yeah, Kiss Kiss Bang.
Of course.
Yeah. Boomstick. Oh,
usually that's my last.
Christopher just walked by. Yeah, like we were just talking about him. He walked by.
I always have this happen, so I apologize. That's usually my last question, but it looks like we've covered your span of time.
I think so. Yeah. So I was like, oh no, I don't know if I can talk for an hour, but yeah, that's
it's easy. Close.
Yeah, it is.
I can make anybody talk. Well, I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And
for
I wish
me.
You nothing but luck with what you guys are doing. And I think you really found the right home.
I think so.
For
too,
the drumming that you're into, the music that you're into, the passion that you have for it. You have found the perfect band. So
for me, yes,
I hope
that's
that
awesome.
You send Bryce a Christmas card every year to thank you.
Yeah, I should.
But obviously, the whole band, past and current, just good people.
Yes.
And Allison, again, covered that in her episode where she's like, I've just been surrounded by wonderful people that
Definitely.
Care about the music and care about seeing, giving me everything I need to be at my full potential.
Yeah.
So you've got a phenomenal lead singer. And you've got a phenomenal group of musicians to work with. So, good for you.
Yeah, very lucky.
Thank you so much. And thank you for sitting down with me at the Spillway Bar.
Yeah, it was
Grill,
a blast.
World First famous one. For their wings, which I don't get. I get the catfish.
Oh, I get that too.
And they have good cheeseburgers too.
I get I get something different every time. It's always
so good.
I say
that because I'm like, I don't eat wings. I'm not a wing guy.
Oh, you never eat them. Okay.
I don't. No. I don't like bones. Like, I'm scared of that scene in Star Wars where the Rancor gets the bone in his mouth. Like, that's what I picture happening to me when I eat chicken.
You can get the boneless. They're not the same as wings, but they're still good.
Boneless chicken wings. That bird
Mystery
can't fly.
Meat. Mystery meat.
That's a penguin. thank you again. And
you.
I wish you guys nothing but success. And drummer to drummer, you're awesome. And I'm so happy with what our music scene has, even though you guys do come from Campbellsville, it's still a part of this music scene. And
yes,
No Deceit has been a part of Bowling Green's music scene for a long time now.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys are definitely welcome in this town and have a large fan base around here and Glasgow and the surrounding area. So keep doing what you're doing, and thank you again.
Thank you so much.